All right. Someone bought me a fancy thing for my notes.
Make your mama good.
That's right. We were discussing last week the importance of honoring, giving honor to other people. We started off, discussing way back when the importance of having honor for oneself, having self-respect, self-confidence, self-chashivas, kavod atzmacha. But then we said that we all know that we all need, it's important for ourselves to have this chashivas for ourselves. So then, we have to also pay attention to other people's kavod. The Gemara says, first of all, the Gra says, that we said the Gemara says the biggest chesed you can do for somebody is give them kavod. So people run around, I don't mean to knock running around, but people a lot of times forget about this. They're involved with all types of chesed and they don't realize there's a tremendous chesed in front of them. Just anytime you talk to somebody, you spoke about just the way you talk to somebody, it's so easy to give someone kavod in little ways, small things you do to people to show them you recognize them. So the importance of giving other people kavod and such a tremendous thing, a person who's in tune to giving other people respect. And we spoke about praising people, pointing out their milos to them. We said people do not recognize themselves unless they're recognized by other people. A guy could have a beautiful voice. Imagine if no one would tell him that he has a beautiful voice, he'll never know it. One person will never know it. We all think we have nice voices. There are people that walk around with such little self-confidence. Very intelligent, bright people. They walk around with little self-confidence because no one recognizes it. No one told it to them. People have a hard time figuring out on themselves, their talents and their strengths. It's important to realize, first of all, that kavod, no matter how old the person is, no matter how young the person is, there's a mitzvah to give kavod to him. I thought about this and actually had an influence on myself for a change, because I saw this little kid come to yeshiva, and I said, hey, you're supposed to give kavod to little kids also. So I said, Shalom Aleichem. That a person give kavod to little kids. Also, it's a very important thing. I think it reflects a certain greatness of a person when you see a person who gives respect even to little kids. It's sort of a certain greatness of a person. I'm not saying this is a pshat, but Shifra and Pua, right? Yocheved and Miriam are given the name Shifra and Pua, the way they took care of little children, the babies. You can see a person's greatness in the way they respect even children. Even people older than us, most people need to hear, need to hear chizuk, need to hear compliments, Pesach could speak, but imagine after all the compliments and after all the praise he's given, but if they stop asking him to speak in places, let's say the big places that have asked him to speak stop asking him, and people stop complimenting his speeches, then he might start wondering if he's lost his touch, even if he's giving the same exact speech. People are very influenced, a person's very influenced by the opinion of other people, it's just the way it is. And it's not wrong, it's just human nature. We don't really, there's a truth to it, because we don't know how we see ourselves. I'm honest enough, I'll ask guys after the Musa Chabur sometimes, did you gain from it? Because you don't always know if what you're saying is coming across clearly. You don't know if people are gaining from what you're saying. So therefore, it's important to give other people that kavod. Someone speaks, someone davens, someone. We said not to use false compliments, not to false compliment people. First of all, the person never knows whether they want to believe you or not. So even when you give a real compliment, it becomes worthless. Second of all, there's no reason to mislead him. The guy could daven for the Amid, say Shkayach, you picked a nice tune, I like to hear your voice. But to say misleading things like, oh, you sound like you're beautiful, you have such a beautiful voice, are you on a choir? To do that to him, you might end up causing him harm, because then he's going to be very, oh, I have such a good voice, maybe I should daven more often. And then Then he's setting him up for a disappointment later when
other people are Muslim.
What? Other people are Muslim. It's true. And you're also setting him up for it's true. And you're setting him up for disappointment that you know that he's going to think that's something that's good about him. And then when he comes to reality, he's go somewhere else or whatever it is. You know, he doesn't get the chazan job in the big synagogue. So it's going to you're setting him up for disappointments. It's a very important issue in complimenting people to do it in a real way. Same thing when you praise people's actions. We spoke about praising people's actions. People do something good to recognize it. You know, person arranges a shir. Say thank you, shir, for arranging a shir. Just an example. I have to pick on shir today. So a lot of times it doesn't have to be. A lot of times when you overdo it, it's also overkill. Oh, it's so amazing how you arrange that thing and this and that and that. Sometimes you overkill it, and the person feels like, is he overplaying it a little bit? Sometimes just by saying it in just like a simple way, I really appreciate it, or just noticing, you did that, that's great. A lot of times it's more effective, way of doing things than making too much of a show of it. I like to speak about, certain relationships where the inyan of honor is probably the most crucial aspect of the relationship. Unfortunately, they're not necessarily carried out, and that's why we have big problems in the world. But I like to focus on three relationships. One is a parent to a child. Two is a Rebbe to a Talmud. And three is a husband to a wife. You have to get Shalom Bayis in there somewhere. But when we're focusing on this specific issue of, if we get to Shalom Bayis, a long series. We're focusing on midos. We're focusing on the specific issue of giving honor to people. This is probably, I think, the fundamental role of a parent. The fundamental role of a parent is to give honor to his children. You can't. We see it all around. All these children, all these adults, lacking confidence. And I'll do it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I will point the finger at all the parents. Of all the bachrim, of all the adults that are walking around lack of self-confidence, it's all the parents' fault. And then we have to come here in Waterbury or any other place.
Don't point that at the
revenge. I didn't get that yet. Now we're picking on parents. We'll pick on revenge next.
Them are also parents.
But that's right. We'll say that too. But you're stealing all my stuff. But it's definitely in the parents' hands. We have to pick up the parents' slack. But it's in the parent's hands to build the child. There's no question if a parent properly builds a child's confidence, there's no question the child will be a healthy person, will not be desperate for other people's attention, will not be an honor seeker, will be a confident and accomplished person, because the person who believes in himself, as we've spoken, will accomplish, because we all have tremendous, tremendous talents and tremendous potential to accomplish. We'll speak this out now. Lamaisa, if a person doesn't have confidence in himself, it's not likely he'll be able to give it over to his children. Number one, he doesn't have the tools. He doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know what it means to build somebody, because he doesn't know how to build himself. If he doesn't know how to build himself, he can't build someone else. Building yourself, building someone else, is a chachma. It takes a certain intelligence, a certain ashkafa, how you're going to look at yourself, not to be negative. It takes a certain outlook. When a person doesn't have the outlook to build himself, he probably does not have the means of building his children. Number two is the children see, my father did not think so. So what? I'm something. They see in their father. They just learn from their father. Parents, above all, are a role model for their children. Parents' job, more than telling their children what to do, is to show their children what to do. Children want to be like their parents naturally. This is really a fundamental issue here. Children love their parents naturally. You know where the love breaks? The love breaks in this issue, actually. Most of the love breaks in the covet issue. Parents that don't give their children enough honor, their children do carry resentment against the parents. The relationship is not as strong. Side benefit. How do you build a child's confidence? A child's self-covet? So first of all, like we spoke at last time, love. love is a way of building kavod. Not just inside loving your child. All parents love their children, but not all parents are able to express it. I don't know. Nishman, a psychologist. I'm not a psychologist, and even though we do a lot of psychology here, just for, you know, happen to do psychology here on different things. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what is the problem. Why is it so hard for so many parents to express their love for their children? Maybe, obviously, they weren't loved, and, you know, that's the start of it. But I don't know why a lot of parents have this issue. Most parents are unaware of their lacking in this issue. It's so important. There's no limit, there's no lines to the love that a parent has to express to their child. A parent has to express to their child, often, I love you. It's not only with words, it's with showing them, it's with feeling, with showing them emotionally. I don't think there's such a thing as over-loving. There's such a thing as over-protecting, such a thing as thinking your kid's, you know, making your kid into some idol and make that your kid's perfect and everything's perfect about him, which actually is another way of crushing your child's confidence, because you're not building him with true character traits. You're playing him into something he's not. But there's no such thing as, I don't think such a thing as over-loving your child. You know, it might hurt him if you kiss him too much, but I don't think there's such a thing as over-loving your child. Not that I'm aware of. I can see such harm in overloving your child. I think a person should be normal, but I don't think it's so dangerous, overloving. It's a big problem. It's a big problem in this world. That's why, by the way, why are Bachram, most Bachram not matzliach in Avodas Hashem? Most of the Bachram that are failures in Avodas Hashem, in their learning, is usually because they're lacking self-esteem. It's usually because the parents did not do a good job of raising the children. The beginning of becoming a Tzaddik, the beginning of becoming an Eved Hashem, is being a healthy person, is being healthy. Someone lacking covet, someone lacking value for himself, is unhealthy. And that's a parent's foremost job. You know, like we said, the mental health of a person is before the giving the person the smile, Rabbi Yechon said, is better. Better to smile at your friend and give him a cup of milk. More important, if a parent's job is to feed his children, and to physically take care of the children's needs, how much more so is a parent obligated in taking care of the most essential need of the person, of giving the child covet. Now, in terms of love, just a few hours here. You know, we say an opinion at Ben, it almost glares at you. If you've ever seen the nusach of the pinyan ben, the kohen asks the father a profound shaila. He says, "Dad, what do you want more? Do you want the five slum, or do you want to keep your kid?" Mom, you have to look. You have to see inside to believe it.
Your mother takes the
slum. Don't do it. So the kohen says to the father with a straight face, "My boy is tvei." You should really read it. No siddur in this. I mean, I've never heard another pshat on this. I think this is the emes of pshat, at least one pshat. Where is it? Not here, we'll just 102? No. You have it? You looked in the index. See, that's, I was never good at following directions. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. The Kohen asked the father, "My boy is tvei. What do you want more? Liti li bincha b'charecha, to give me your firstborn son, shupet arecha m'nima, which is the firstborn of his mother. Oh, boss, let's do so you want to redeem Baal Chamesh Lam. K'machayev is barayis, like I'll be here from the Torah. What do you want more, your child? Or you want to give them money?" Now, obviously, you know, if you don't give the money, you don't give the child the coin. But it almost sounds like, what do you want more, your son? That's the way it's expressed. What do you want more, your son or the money? So the father says, I guess if he follows the nusach, I want to redeem my son. I think what the coin's asking the father is profound. People say they love their children. People say they'll do anything for the child. But where is their focus throughout their life? Is their focus throughout their life on money? On their business? They come home, You say hello to their child, 1 second, I have to make a phone call, and they're completely absorbed in their business. Or the taka really care, put their lives to their children. It's not a far-fetched question. Most people are lying when they say chafetz chaim b'fetzes haben. Their money is more important to them than their child. You'll say, look, but the father would give up his life for his child. It's true. Maybe he would give up his life for his child. But bottom line, he's giving up his son's life for his money. So, it's not so clear. The son, a child that sees a parent absorbed with his own things, it could even be his own learning. Also, it's takana, because then it could even be used against learning. A child that sees a parent absorbed with his own thing, so he has a good kasha. He's a good child. What do you like more, your money or me? And there's lacking in the ava. There's lacking in the feeling of love when a parent does not give the child enough time. Now, it doesn't always have to be three hours a day. Sometimes 5 minutes. Sometimes a good solid 5 minutes uninterrupted. A good quality time, you know. Good quality time. You know, it's a Gaish book I never read, but I think he suggests to spend even individual time with children, not always everyone together. Spend a few minutes with one child at a time, to spend the time necessary for the child. And it's not always a matter of time, it's just to show that your focus, your life, your child is the most important thing to you. And a child that feels neglected, no matter, you could tell him he's worth $1 million, but if you don't give him the proper time, you don't give him the proper love, proper attention, he's going to feel hurt. He's going to be lacking his self-esteem. You know, this is a yesai that, you know, came across me recently, worked preparing for this shiur, that love is inherent, is essential for kavod. Besides, the reason why everyone needs to be loved is for their self-worth. That's really why you need love. What happens when a person doesn't feel loved? He feels he's not worth anything. Love is really directly connected to a person's kavod. I can't speak about this enough. You know, that your child should feel, the mom and your children should feel that they're worth $1 million when they're with their parents. A parent has to make the child feel like gold. And the truth is, the child is gold. Like we spoke about, a person is a very chashuv thing. The whole world was created for each and one, every one of us. Every person is a very special person. And a parent has to make his child feel that value for himself. And then the child won't have to work on his self-esteem. He'll be able to be focused on building other people's. It's our job not to let our child fall into such a trap. It's the yisayda chinach. You want to have children? Look, can't promise because HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and things have happened. But generally, I would say the number one issue in raising children is showing love and self and covet. Giving your child self-esteem. That's it. People say that shalom bias is the greatest harm to children's development. But Lanius Daiti, it's not the shalom bias that's a real problem. Shalom bias is a problem when the children see fighting. But it's more when there's a lack of shalom bias in the home, that affects the child's self-esteem. The parents are not able to love the children, they're too busy fighting with themselves. The parents will walk around with anger. A lot of times, never happened to me either. But I know that it could happen. Someone's angry at his wife, and he expresses that anger at the child. When there's lack of shalom bias, when there's tension in the home, it gets carried out on the children. It's not a home of love. So it's really this midah, this inyan is the most essential thing in raising a child. Shalom bias is probably just essential for this. The love and cover the child needs. If the child is worth $1 million, his parents can hate each other. It probably won't destroy him. I'm such a special guy. My parents don't get along. Okay. It's. I think that's the central nekuda behind the shalom bias issue. Now you'll ask me, and you'll say, what about Musa? What about Musa? Don't you always loving, always showing love to your child? Don't you have to patch them? Don't you have to correct them if they do something wrong? And it's a stupid question. Stupid question. It's like. Am I allowed to take my kid to the dentist? Because I'm lack of showing love. The what is Musar? What is Taychacha? Musar is I want to fix you. I want to make you better. Everyone quotes a pasuk. Chaisech, Shiftai, Sine Benai. Someone who holds back the rod hates his child. You have to give your child a musr. Rav Volbi says not to hit. I will explain more in detail another time perhaps, or even now, about hitting. But, speak about kas. But, Rav Volbi says not to hit. It's not necessarily literal. But, Chaisech, Shiftai, Benai. Someone who holds back the rod, someone who doesn't give his child musr, hates his child. But people don't quote the end of the pasuk. Va'aya va'yishicharay musr. Someone that loves his child gives a musar. The musar is because he loves his child. That's part of the musar. It's not just he loves his child, he gives a musar. When you're giving musar to your child, it has to be from love. If it's from anger, that's not musar. That's bad chinuch. You're not going to raise good children giving them taychacha, giving them musar out of anger. In fact, it's also to hit your child out of anger. If a father hits his child out of anger, we'll do this again in Kas, more in detail. So on him we say, Rasha! Lama sakariyacha. Russia, why are you hitting your friend? What, your child is not? Your child is less? Your child is less than your friend? You're not allowed to hit your child. It's only if it's done b'derech musar. Even if I have a constructive purpose. But why am I doing it? Am I doing it to express my anger? Because I'm angry? Or I'm doing it because I love my child? I don't want to hit him? First, I have to wait till he calms down before you even would think about hitting. If not necessarily you should hit. A lot of times, if you don't hit properly, you know what happens. When I was speaking to Rabbi Besham, it's like, you see, if you hit your child, you'll see your children, then they'll hit each other. You're teaching them that's the correct approach. You know, you don't do something wrong, you don't do something you like, we'll hit you. Because if the child feels you're doing it because you're doing something he doesn't like, so let's tackle what you taught him. If someone does something you don't like, slap him. If you're doing it because I love you, if I care, a parent could tell his child, I love you, I don't want to stick you in the crib. It could be a little child. I don't want to do this to you. I don't want to punish you. I don't want to put you in the corner. I don't want to smack you. But what can we do? You have to be punished. There has to be a way of stopping a child sometimes from just getting away with whatever he wants. But it's only out of love. Children do not resent their parents. It's impossible for the child to resent his parents for guiding them if it's done out of love. I never heard of a child, someone come and say, I hate my parents. They made me go to the dentist. It's understood. This is for your benefit. There's no difference. Only when it's done improperly. Only when it's done, even only when the parents are attacked wrong and the children are attacked right, that it's not done out of love. It's done with anger. It's done, they don't really care about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's done for wrong reasons, with wrong emotions, with wrong intentions. That's when the children are right. And instead of giving him a musa when you patch him, in fact, you're probably just pushing him off the derech. Now let's speak about honoring. That's love. Always love. Always love. Always love. It's such a pasha thing. It's such a disaster. It's such a disaster in the world. I don't know why these things are not just like, you know, every person gets up and speaks about chinuch. Chinuch, chinuch, chinuch. There's nothing you have to say. Give your child love, love, love. So, love and honor. That's it. That's all a child needs. He needs a cup of milk. Let's talk about honoring your child. You have to give your children respect. People think, you know, if I can't, kibra v'aim, the parents that walk around the whole day, kibra v'aim, where's your kibra v'aim? I don't know why there's no mitzvah in the Torah about honoring your child. It's probably just included in v'hafta re'echa kamelcha. There's a special obligation for a child to honor his parents, stand up for them, and whatever it is. But a parent, no question, has to treat his children with respect. They're human beings, you know, they're your children, you know, chasha people. They deserve respect. No matter how young they are, no matter how little they are, it always bothers me. A lot of people have, you know, a lot of people don't realize that children are human beings. They're just human beings. When they cry, he's faking. So sometimes they're faking. But let's say a child's really crying. So people have the ability, just like, it's a child crying. What do you mean it's a child crying? And if an older adult's crying, you melt. A child's crying, you don't melt. A child cries, you're not sensitive to his feelings. You bring home, his candy gets dirty. He cries. He's really upset about the candy. Rasul Salanter said that a child's lollipop is his olam hazeh. His whole olam hazeh is in front of him when he has that lollipop. You take away that lollipop, Rasul Salanter said, you're taking away his olam hazeh. That's a bal musar. A child is not less than an adult. He just has different ideas of what's important to him. Children probably, you know, are not so off. Parents love their video cameras. Parents are attached to their cars and their toys. You know, I remember I was at some function and one of my children said someone had a video camera. It's funny. And now I have one. But he said, what's that toy that he has? So what's the toy he has? And I thought, like, he's right. You know, it's a good para. That's adults' toys. You know, if your video camera breaks, you cry. The child's lollipop is very important to him. You know, obviously it doesn't mean if they're crying because they want lollipops, you should feed them the whole bag of lollipops, even if they're really upset. But just ignore that feeling that a child has is also crushing their value. You're crushing their chashivas. You're not treating them like human beings. You're not treating them with respect. Children, babies deserve respect. You know, my mishka, I think, you know, if a parent, a lot of times parents have issues, I've had the issue, Baruch Hashem, we fought through it. But, you know, sometimes you make a mistake of letting your children come into your room and things like that. And you have to stop them. It's not good for yourselves. Whatever's not good for yourselves is not going to be good for your kids either. And you have to do things, you know, that are hard and make them cry. But not like you just, you know, shut the door to your room and, like, shut the door to their room. All right, he's crying. Tough luck. If I care, you know, plus you probably shouldn't be able to go back to sleep till the child stops crying. Child's crying. Just ignore his pain. He's crying. It's real tears. He really wants to be in his parents' room. He really wants that. It's not fake. It's not fake. It's real. It's real tears. Why are a child's tears less important than an adult's tears? A parent has to raise a child like that. If not, also you're hurting the child's chashivas. You're hurting the child's self-worth. Parents think their children are like echveis. They own them, or they're not important. They're just children. So, it always upsets me, and I see, like, I judge them. I don't, you know, could be I'm a sugar in this area, but I think it's a good thing, you know. It's a very, very important thing, you know. Parents, just see parents not treating their children properly. They're so busy, they drop their kid off at school, they run ahead of them, I have to get to school, they throw their kid down the step, you know. Go, hurry up, I have to go. I'm not saying to be a crazy person, but you just can see in certain parents, you just see the respect they give to their children. Child deserves a lot of respect, and if you treat them with respect, they feel they're chashiv. They feel they're important. It's important for someone to feel that it's important. They'll feel that they're important. They'll want to accomplish in their life. They won't be the type of kids that are going to sleep through chakras. They won't be the type of kids that will just waste away their lives because they're too important to do that. And they'll love their parents because they understand their parents gave them, their parents built them. Their parents gave them the most important thing there is, which is self-respect, self-covet. We have to point out, be a long time. We have to point out children's milas. We'll try to finish with the children. To point out children's milas. It's very important to point out children's milas. Again, not fake, not fake. You tell your child he's a genius, it's a terrible mistake. Their parents that don't know how to build self-esteem, maybe they're lacking themselves, and they, oh, my child is a genius. He's a genius. First of all, why is that so important? That's a natural ability. But second of all, you're destroying the child. Because if the child's not a genius, many times these parents didn't realize, then they come to school, I'm not a genius. My parents say he's a genius. After a while, you know, your parents are just going to be proved wrong. You know, when you fail the LSATs, you know what I mean? You're going to be proved wrong. So, and then you're up for a disaster. You don't specify, you don't build your children on falseness. If your child is smart, I think it's important to give your child realization that he's smart. If your child has a nice voice, I think it's important to give him realization of that. But if your child is just a nice kid, he's a hard worker, he does nice things, just praise the things that he really does and he's really good at. Not false complimenting. It's destructive. It's not necessary, it's destructive. It's not building true self-esteem. Thought of a beautiful vart last week's parsha, 2 weeks ago parsha, and Baruch Hashem, I ran and said over by the Kiddush, B'Shem Lazam LaTorah. So at least I was right. That we say every Friday night, we give our child a bracha, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim V'Menashe. So the famous vart is that what? Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim V'Menashe, that our children should not be jealous. Shouldn't be jealous of each other, shouldn't be jealous of other people. There should be a lack of jealousy. But I think it's deeper than that. Why was Menashe not jealous of Ephraim? Why was Menashe not jealous? I think the reason why he wasn't jealous, and this is a aside beyond jealousy, Hopefully we pointed it out then. If we didn't, we should have. And now we are. That aside behind avoiding jealousy is understanding that your tafkid is different than your friend. Your tafkid is not his tafkid. Menashe was not jealous because Ephraim's tafkid was to have Yeshua ben Nun. His tafkid was to have greatness, leadership come out of it. Menashe's tafkid maybe was to be a little less, a little more low-key. Spoke about, you know, this Indian and having self-respect. Just because you're not the Rosh Hashiva, just because you're not the Rav, doesn't mean that your place is any less in this world. And maybe that wasn't your tafkid. You weren't given the abilities to be a leader. You were given abilities to be a good yid, which sometimes is, you know, to do your job in life. Maybe Hashem will make you children the Rosh Hashiva. It wasn't necessarily meant for you. Hashem knows what's best for whatever our tafkid is. That's why Menashe wasn't jealous. We're telling our children, and we're really telling ourselves, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Yivchonashe, that I want you to fill your tafkid. Whether your job is to be Ephraim, whether your job is to be the Rosh Hashiva, whether your job is to be Menashe, whether your job is not to be, whether your job is to be just a working person, whatever your tafkid is, fill it. And you're not less. I was thinking it could be that's why Yaakov, he didn't switch their positions. He just switched their hands. Because it could be he was saying, Menashe, you still have your place. You're still not any less than you were before. The bracha, the strength of the bracha, has to go to Ephraim. But your position is in the same place. And it's very, very important that we ourselves, a lot of people in their own minds, really, really want the child to be a Talmud Chacham, really want the child to be a Shiva. If you really, really want it, and your kid feels that pressure, it's going to be very hard. It might make it very hard for him to do it. It's unhealthy to do that to your child. You have to show your child you love Torah. Hopefully, your child will want to be a Talmud Chacham. Shiva is not the goal to be a Talmud Chacham. You can't push it on your child, and you can't make your child feel that's what is worth his telly on. If you keep on telling your child, oh, I want you to be a Talmud Chacham, I want you to be a Talmud Chacham, I want you to be a Talmud Chacham, so what happens if for some reason the child doesn't do it? So then he's a piece of garbage. Again, you crushed him. What happens if you have two children? One child's a Talmud Chacham, he's a big learner, another one, it's very hard for him, he's ADHD, he can't, that's the excuse now, he can't learn. Whatever it is, not everyone was meant, you know, Chavetz Chaim says, there's Yisachar and there's Zvulun. You know, we don't know what everyone's tafkid is. If you make the goal, one measure of success, you're going to cause jealousy between your children. You'll be over dirve chazal if that makes it better. Chazal say what? That a person should never give more to one child than the other. Because look what happened by Yaakov. He gave the ksonas to Yosef, and they were jealous. And they sold them to Mitzrayim, and that's why we had to go to Galus, because he caused jealousy. So if you're not allowed to give more money to one child than the other, certainly you can't give more honor and more love to one child than the other. If you're going to give more honor, oh, I'm so proud of you, you're learning so well, and the other child's not, even if you don't knock the other child, but if somehow you don't find it, also it can't be fake. If it's fake, the child will notice it. You have to really feel that deep love for your child, deep respect for your child. Your child could be a plumber, nothing against plumbers. Your child could be a worker, a handyman. Your child could be anything. But he's my child, and I'm proud of him. He's my child, and I'm proud of him. And I respect what he is, I respect what he does. And in Mirtz Hashem, chances are, if you raise your children properly, chances are you'll see great things from your children. And they'll probably do things you want them to do. But not if that's where you're shoving them. Just to end, cute little story. It's a true story, a relative of mine. My grandmother told me this, a relative of hers. The child didn't do well. The child didn't do well in school. The child was not academically bright. You know, some people are bright in other areas. I always think, you know, people that are handy. You know, they're bright and handy in mechanical things. Why is brightness always defined by certain areas? First, be bright in different areas. But this person wasn't academically, this girl wasn't academically bright. But she tried, she wasn't a bad kid. So the day came, she got her report card, she asked her parents, what'd I get? The parents told her, you did wonderful, you did great, the teacher's proud of you, the teacher's happy with you. Keep up the good work. This is how to raise a child. You have parents nowadays, how come you only got a 95? And they'll say, but I'm building my child's self-esteem because I'm showing them that they can really do better, they can do hundreds. No. It's not how you raise your children. You want to tell them, I'm so proud you got a 95. And then maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, tell them, you know, you know, maybe we can get 100 this time, maybe. But the first thing the parent says is, why don't you get 100? Oh, I'm building self-esteem because I hold of you so highly that you're capable of it. That's lousy parenting. Lousy. Or chas v'shalom, a child doesn't do well. Oh, it's horrible. It's not the way to do it. Obviously, the child is intelligent and the kid was just lazy. You got to set him straight. But also, again, in a nice way, you know, you're very smart. I love you. I'm proud of you. But it's very important for you to work hard. It has to be done in a sweet, nice way. All right, it seems that COVID is going to take us longer than expected, which is a good thing. Get the points across. Next week we'll talk about a Rebbe Talmud relationship. If we can get through that in half a week, then we'll do husband and wife next. And then we still got 2 or 3 weeks more on COVID and kids. Okay.